Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
When we think about being an entrepreneur, and we've seen it, especially with Black women.
I also feel like as a Black creator, we're always getting the short end of the stick. You just got to be careful because these brands will take advantage of you.
Hey.
I feel like this, like,
what's up?
Welcome to my crib.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Troy.
Jordan, nice to meet you.
Rashad,
how you Jordan, doing? Nice to meet you.
Yes, thank you for the hospitality.
Of course. This is where the magic happens.
Yes, yes. So where are we at right now?
We are at the Woods by Jordan headquarters at the moment. I'm going to show you guys kind of what's going on over here and talk about, you know, what it's like being an entrepreneur.
Well, one thing or two about that, so this is going to be good.
I'm sure you guys could teach me a few things, too.
Each one teach one. That's what this is about.
Oh, I love that. I feel like that's what life's about, actually.
100%.
Wow, if you,
this is massive.
Yeah, some big stuff going.
Let's
so
do it.
These are my three products I have out right now.
Okay.
I decided to drop a mesh dress in the winter, and shockingly, it did a lot better than I was expecting it to be. So I'm excited about that. But if you guys want to feel the material, the quality is there. That's like what I strive for. And I also feel like I wanted to bridge the gap of like fast fashion with luxury, because where's that in between where you're paying for quality, but you're not, you know, hurting your pockets too much. Timeless clothes, pieces that will last you because of the quality, at the most affordable price point I could possibly make it for people. So
how involved are you in the design of the product? This is fly.
No, I'm involved in every single step of the way.
Okay.
We
can get into more of that later of why I'm so hands-on, but if I fail, at least I know where I went wrong. So, which I'm not going to fail, but it's just like when you're creating your own company, if you aren't hands-on with everything, then other people have excuses as to why it didn't work out.
Right.
With me, I'm like, okay, if I'm hands-on with everything, then I can know what's going on every step of the way. And if I'm putting my own money into it, then I need to know what's going on every step of the way. So we have three. I mean, if you guys want to...
I see a face peeking through here. Who's the face? Is it somebody important?
It is somebody important, but I think that's the beauty, is the mystery of it.
Got the
I don't
black,
know if I should say who it is.
Very classic black dress.
I don't want to get sued.
Very important.
So it's the same material.
I'll tell you guys later. It's the same material. This is actually our best seller, this sunset.
This one right here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Ooh. And I just wanted to make clothes. Like, I love the versatility of mesh. That's why I started with mesh, because it can be dressed up, down, out, on vacation. And it's really whatever you want to make it, because you can piece it with whatever you want under. You can do more sexy, more conservative. It looks good on all body types. And I would say this is like one of the most flattering dresses I've seen on like every different type of person.
Luxury leisure.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm talking about this right here, this card. I'm assuming this comes with every purchase. It says, thank you for joining me on this journey. This is the beginning of something very special. So where's the journey headed?
We're entering the woods, you know.
Entering the woods.
I like that.
There's a lot of different aspects, but this is much bigger than just a clothing brand for me. I really want to take it in directions that people don't normally take, like their clothing brand, with doing a lot more art-focused projects, connecting with culture, with local artists, bringing people together, and also, like, I have a lot of cool pop-up ideas that I'm working on right now, too, that I've never seen done. So for me, it's like, yes, it's clothing, but it's so much bigger than that. So, but yeah, we're going places. Just know.
Just know. So on this card, I see, you know, women in all different sizes. Is that important to highlight different body types?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're all born different, and that's the beauty of who we are. We're not supposed to look the same. And so me growing up as like a curvier woman or a bigger girl, I'm a lot smaller than I used to be. So I know what it's like to try to go shopping and you can't find something that's as cute as everyone else because you can't find it in your size. So for me, being able to relate to that type of woman, I definitely wanted to create something for all different body types.
Yeah,
so and that, even on the smaller scale, too, there's a lot of girls that are smaller that maybe can't find something that fits. So I wanted to try to make everyone feel involved and feel good because that's what it's about.
I mean, that's the inspo. I feel like if we followed your journey, right, we watched in 2015, you as a model, you're an advocate, fitness became a big part of it. And this piece of the fashion part of it, is that something that was always part of your lifestyle growing up? Or as you grew as an adult, you're like, you know what, I have a niche for this thing.
Well, I would say when I was younger, I didn't really care about fashion as much because I was always discouraged by fashion. Mm-hmm. So I was a tomboy. I would wear like big baggy clothes, like my brother's big t-shirts, basketball shorts, whatever I felt like could kind of hide my body and what made me feel comfortable. But as I got older and I was more involved in finding my own style and who I am just as a woman, clothing is like a huge part of all of our lives, whether you realize it or not. You're not gonna leave the house. I mean, some people might leave the house naked, but every day you gotta
not
get
suggested.
Dressed.
Not suggested.
When you feel good, you look good. When you look good, you feel good. It all goes hand in hand. So I feel like clothing is a huge part of all of our lives, whether or not we realize it.
Drip responsibly.
At all times.
Drip responsibly.
At all times.
Exactly.
Very important.
I was trying to carry up all my luggage myself. When I tell you, I had the strength of God that day because I don't know how I did it.
That's the real New York City experience.
But it grew me into the person I am today.
Indeed, indeed.
There you have it.
Great way to start.
Yeah, for sure. So this is a dope vibe here. Congratulations.
Thank you.
For sure. So what even made you even want to start, you know, in the entrepreneur world? I know, you know, originally we just talked about you were a model.
Mm-hmm.
How did you even get the mind frame to become an entrepreneur?
I think when I think of entrepreneurial endeavors, I think of building your legacy. And for me, I did so many collaborations with different companies. They were successful, sold out a lot of different collections. And I'm like, if I'm making this amount of money, I can only imagine how much money the brand is making itself. And then I wanted to build something for myself, my legacy. And at the heart of it, feel like I'm a creative.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love just having ideas and making things come to life. And so it's not easy. The collaborations are way easier. It's like you show up, you give your 2 cents, and they plan everything, and you get paid. So I get it, but having your own thing is so much more work, but it's so much more rewarding. So I feel like it's just me wanting to build my legacy and make things that I love and make things that I like dream to find or dream to buy, and I can create it for other people.
Yeah, when you talked about collaboration, somebody has a product and now you're promoting that product. But when it's your own, I wonder what gave you the vision to say, this is the vision I want to have for a product when it's by me? What were those like early ideas?
In my lifetime, I have aspirations to make everything from house products to you name it. Eyelashes, which I had my eyelash collab, beauty. I always wanted to actually make a skincare line. But then I felt like the influencer celebrity market became way too oversaturated with all of the beauty brands coming out, which obviously if you believe in it, you can still put it out. But for me, my direction completely changed. And then I'm like, I love clothes. I love making people feel good, making them feel confident, creating things that maybe I'm looking for that I can't find. And so I started with clothes. I actually had an athleisure line years ago called Second Nature, and I wanted it to feel like your second skin. That's why I called it Second Nature, because it's second nature to just grab it and put it on. And with entrepreneurship, there's trial and error. And I definitely had a lot of trial and error. I just partnered with people that weren't the right fit for me, and there's some things that happened along the lines that I was just, we couldn't really come back from that, so I just dissolved the whole company, and I waited some time, and then I decided to come with Woods by Jordan, and from day one, I've pretty much done everything myself because of what happened to me the last time. I'm like, I'm not doing this again, so Woods by Jordan has evolved. It started with a mesh dress, and we're just behind the scenes working on all of the different outlets and ways that we're going to expand the brand, continue to push the messaging, the vision, and I'm really having fun with it, although it's an everyday thing. When you're an entrepreneur, you're never off the clock. No, you don't get to like clock out and come back. It's like you constantly have to be on it. Even on vacation, wherever you are, you got to be on it.
So you talked about, you know, the difference between being an entrepreneur and just being the face of a brand. You have a tremendous following on social media, 11 million followers, I think like 400,000 on YouTube. What were some of the differences that you saw? And how does that work as far as, like, how much should somebody be charging per Instagram post? Is there a set amount? Every million you should charge 50,000 more? Like, how did you go about it? How you see some of your friends in the space go about, you know, not getting taken advantage of? And how do you know, like, what's good, what's not good? I should be doing this. I should be charging this much for an Instagram post, stuff like that.
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again, because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
I think it's all, well, it's changed a lot since I even started. A lot of people don't have money how they used to, or they're putting it all into maybe more TikTokers, which makes a lot more sense for a lot of people's brands. Mm-hmm. I never promote anything that I can't relate to or that's not authentic, so I say no to a lot more things than I say yes to. But a lot of people could have 50 million followers, but they get 10,000 likes. So I wouldn't always equate following
engagement.
It's the engagement is what you should get paid for, because I've seen some people with 100,000 followers that get 100,000 likes. So, you know, that person probably has more people that are paying attention, wanting to, they believe in what they're doing and have people that support them. So I would say brands are more looking for people with better engagement now rather than more following. So it's, the price can be dependent on whatever that person wants to charge. I also feel like as a Black creator, we're always getting the short end of the stick. We're getting offered less money than someone else. So you really just got to make sure you're on top of it. Maybe like see if you have a friend that you can ask. I don't like talking money with friends, but if there's something where you can check checks and balances to see if it all checks out, it's helpful too, but you just got to be careful because these brands will take advantage of you.
Yeah, you talked about getting the short end of the stick. When we think about being an entrepreneur, and we've seen it, especially with black women, getting funding to start a business. So what was that process like for you? I know that there was, you know, you were doing a social media campaign and that brought in revenue, but were there times that you had to go out to get funding to launch some of these businesses?
Yeah, definitely. I think you can have a bunch of million-dollar ideas, but you got to have the capital to be able to make your ideas come to life. So you got to have a proper business plan. You got to really strategize what you want to do. And for me, luckily, I had the luxury of my boyfriend knew I wanted to start some of these businesses. So instead of like giving me an extravagant gift for my birthday, he gave me the funding to start my business. And so that was like a huge step forward.
I got stuff my gifts up.
Yeah, no, that was a huge step forward for me. And now I just reinvest all my money back into the company. So that one investment helped me continue to make profit. And luckily, a lot of people don't see this starting their company, but I was able to make back, you know, all of my investment and more. So
what was the first thing? When you got the investment from your boyfriend, what was the first thing that you actually did? Did you get inventory, employees? Like, what was it? What did you put the money to use to? Or?
So I don't have a lot of employees. I just have like what's needed right now, because a lot of people are like, well, I need 50 employees, I need this. But you have to pay for all of that before you even make it. So you should just start small and expand as you need it. And so we have a team. Right now we've expanded, but starting there was only like 3 of us. And in the beginning I was like, I'm gonna just ship these like out myself, not realizing it's not like it was. I would have been at home every single day doing things every single, it was too much. So luckily.
Trapping out the bando.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to feel, what it was like.
To trap out the bando?
Yeah, I did a little bit.
Very similar. You got the labels.
Even us, like for our first job, we decided we were gonna like hand deliver all the PR packages. I'm never doing that again either.
Up all night.
All day in this van that we rented. And then my assistant's boyfriend drove us around and we would just like run to the door. And then I would like almost ding dong ditch people because I'm scared. I'm not doing that again. But we started really, I won't say from zero, but we started just us three and we're slowly expanding. But you don't have to start big to succeed.
Yeah, that's part. That's part of the journey.
Yeah,
right? Like it's a beautiful journey, but it gives you a in-depth look at what it takes to be in this space, and then you get to learn everything about your business. So when you're hiring somebody,
and you appreciate it more.
Exactly.
So I'm like, I want to see what it's like to trap, to drop this off. This, it's not for me.
As a younger CEO, you're dealing with budgets.
Yeah.
You're dealing with cash flow. You're dealing with how to hire people. So who's teaching you that, or is that something that you're learning as you're going?
I think, I don't know, when I turned 18, I moved to New York by myself, moved to London. I just feel like I've developed a lot of street smarts over time and through the collaborations and partnering with different people. I know what I'm looking for, and I'm also big on energy. I know it's a weird thing to say, but like I could tell if someone's full of shit from the beginning. So I'll talk, see if they match the qualifications, go off like the energy that I'm getting. Because here in this world, in the industry, you're going to hear a lot of people who are really good at talking, but they're not about anything that they say that they are. I give people, not a lot of people, but I've given people a chance, and I found some people recently that I really love that have the qualifications. You pay the money for it. It's more expensive, but you do it right the first time. So I don't know. I'm just figuring it out as I go.
I want to go back to social media and ask 2 questions. So you said that you don't like to talk to your friends about money.
Yeah.
Why? Can you explain?
I just feel like money complicates things. If we are having an idea, talking about money in a sense of financial literacy, or is this the right move, or should I buy this, or whatever, it's fine. But like, if we're working together, I want to have a contract, have it all in writing, talk about it once, and then we don't have to talk about it again. I also just feel like people, I wouldn't say my friends, but you just don't know how people are, and you don't want people to end up feeling like jealous or counting your pockets, or you go out and people are like, well, you could pay for it all. Normally, if I am taking someone out, then I'm going to pay for it anyways. But I just feel like it complicates things, and I don't like sharing financial stuff with really anybody except the people I need to know.
Is that something that you just was always like that, childhood? Because I feel like, the reason why I'm asking, I feel like it could potentially be beneficial if people shared information, right? Because it's like, now, if I know how much money you're making, you may know how much I'm making, we can negotiate better. But if I don't know how much you're making, you don't know how much I'm making, now, our lack of information sharing is actually to the betterment for corporate.
But why would your friend have to know how much money you're making?
So, for instance, right, it's like, if you have a podcast, right, and we have a podcast, and let's say that we're getting $20,000 for ad read, but you're getting $45,000 per ad read, right? We don't know what the industry, there's no industry standard. It's like when Steph Curry gets a contract, it's public information. So now LeBron knows that this is the standard,
mm-hmm.
or vice versa. So now their agent can say, okay, well, this, he just got $200 million. We can't go less than that. But imagine if no NBA player
knew. I think it's all circumstantial then. I would say if you know that you can help your friend, then you can share that information. But if it's not like, if y'all are just hanging out, you don't really need to disclose how much you made.
Yeah.
From your podcast or from your brand, like.
I think it's selective.
Yeah.
But I think it could be beneficial.
I think it definitely could be beneficial, especially if you guys want to potentially break bread together or whatever, if you guys are in the same lane, like with sharing the social media posts and stuff like that. Like, oh, well, you did a deal with this company. I made $50K and you made $5K, but we have the same amount of followers. You know?
So my next follow-up question to that was, you said something that you said that black influencers get paid less than white influencers. So A, I want to know, do you have any personal experience with that? But that also goes back to sharing information. Because mm-hmm. it's like, you might have a friend who's white, who it's the same exact campaign, same exact company, but she's getting paid twice as more.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
You wouldn't necessarily know that unless they told you.
I've had that happen to me a lot, but I wouldn't say it's the person. I find out through like a PR company or like somebody that's in the know that is like, well, I did this deal for this same person for this and they're offering you this. I wouldn't say it was direct to source, but it's someone internally. So in a way it is good to share information sometimes, but when it's like your own personal things that you're working on, I feel like it's good to just keep it to yourself, because you never know who's out there like watching or counting your pockets or wanting a piece of the pie and not contributing anything. But look, if I'm winning, then everybody else will win too.
We're all going to eat.
Yeah.
So let's speak of information. Let's talk about Woods by Jordan, because you've gotten to this place now. I'm super excited about it. I see some of the vision and we got to see some of the clothing, but you had Second Nature, you have First Place. What did we learn from those businesses that we're taking into the new business, good and bad?
One, just really believe in the product. Don't put out anything that you have doubts about. I think in Second Nature, I wasn't fully confident with some of the things that I put out, just because people are like, well, this is lower production price, or this is like, it's already made, so just put it out. And so I ended up putting out something that I didn't fully believe in, which I believed in it enough, but I wasn't like, wow, this is the greatest thing ever, mm-hmm. to where when I put out my dress and I know I focused on the fit and the fabric and I paid the price to make sure it was the quality, and somebody went on social media and bashed me for it, I had all the facts, I had all the reason. I was super happy with my product, so I was super just ready to stand behind it. Whereas if I had any doubts about it at all, I would have been like, you know what? They're right. Like, maybe I should have done this.
What did they say that was critical?
I don't want to bring up stuff, but I'll tell you guys, it's not a big deal. On TikTok, there was a girl that made a video about my dress. She bought all three dresses. She made about 15 videos bashing the brand, saying it was like the cheapest quality ever. She would never have anyone buy it. The seam, she said it was an unstitched seam, which it's called a raw edge. It's so you can have versatility in how you wear it. But she was saying that the seams were undone and just a bunch of, just, if it was constructive criticism, it would have been one thing, but it was like
hate.
It felt like hate, which, whatever. She's a fashion blogger. I was able to go on there and defend every single part of everything that she said because I'm like, well, this was intentional. I did this. I studied the fabric. I knew my facts. And so her video went viral. So I had, in the beginning, I had thousands of people like commenting, bashing my brand, saying I like put out some, she said it was a money grab and whatever. When I went on and defended my brand, our sales went through the roof because they're like, oh, she knows what she's talking about. Like, this looks like a good product. Whereas if I put out something that I wasn't confident in, I wouldn't have been able to defend myself in those ways. And I would have maybe started to believe some of the things she said. Because for me, like, if you're not fully confident in what you're putting out, you might believe what people are saying about it. You might fall into that trap too. So I was like, no, 100%. I love this. I believe in it. I stand behind it. Everything I put out with my brand, I love. And that's why this next collection is taking so damn long.
How does that feel psychologically when somebody is, you know, talking bad about you and then there's a bunch of people online that's, you know, believing that? Does it take a toll on you mentally?
I was excited.
You were excited.
I was excited to defend, like, something that I put so much work into. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is great press. Thank you. Because you gave me a reason to go on here and talk about something that I worked hard on. And, I won't say that about everything. Of course, sometimes things get to me, we're human. But a lot of people in our generation are just struggling with themselves. And they're just looking for something to hate. So a lot of the time,
that's a fact.
It's like, okay, this isn't really coming from a personal place. It's just because you're miserable and you want to jump on the trend, which is sad because people's brands really get ruined from people jumping on trends.
Yeah. A friend of mine told me, he said, a wise person told him, if you don't have opposition, find an enemy. It's beneficial.
Yeah.
Right? If you really think about it, like even in a movie, there's really no superhero without a villain. Mm-hmm. There's never been a really successful athlete that didn't have an arch nemesis. Like, sometimes opposition is actually a good thing because A, it forces you to rise to the best level possible. And then it forces you, like you said, to kind of really make stark points on why this is beneficial and why it's different and how it's not the same as how everybody's saying it. So a lot of times people think that it's a curse, but it could actually be a blessing.
Yeah. Definitely. I get it. I like that line, though. There's no superhero without a villain.
Yeah. In a world of immediate gratification, talk about the patience that's needed as an entrepreneur, right? Like, you're dealing with delays. We know a thing or two about
out of patience, so it's hard to talk about it. No, you know what? We live in a generation where everybody wants, like, instant gratification. They want things to drop yesterday. They don't want to wait. So if you're not constantly dropping, people are going to forget about you and move to the next thing. For me, it's also like if you drop something that people don't like or it's not as good, then they're going to bash you and you lose your credibility and they're not going to want to buy the next thing. So you're constantly stuck in this in-between of, like, I need to put something out so people don't forget about me, but I also want to make sure that it lives up to the quality of what I'm trying to create. And so I'm like constantly stuck in the battle of losing patience, but being patient because I know it's worth it. And my patience is like, I have a little bit left. But you gotta be patient because you can't do anything yourself. Like, nothing happens or nothing good happens overnight unless you win the lottery. That would be great. But it's like, just be patient. Be patient with your journey. I think we also put this pressure on ourselves, like, we gotta sell out right away if we drop, or if we're 25 and this isn't working out, then we gotta figure it out. Like, we create these unrealistic timelines for ourselves or where our life should be, and when we don't meet it, then we feel like we failed. Mm. But God already has that timeline for you, so you just need to be patient. And I feel like, I know, as a kid, you're like, when I'm 30, I'm going to have this, 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 and then you finally, I'm not 30 yet. But you get to 30, and I feel like life is not ever what people think it is.
What would be the determining factor to say that this is successful? Are there goals that you've put out for the brand to say, like, if we meet these, this will look like success for us?
We're already a success. And I'll say that because we put out a product, we sold really well, we're doing things that we love. But for me, I'm never, like, that happy. I'm never fully satisfied. I always want the next. So generally speaking, we are a success, and I'm going to say it so I believe it myself. But I would say, like, by quarter four, meeting our goals, having the collections out, I would love for this to be a billion-dollar company. I mean, who doesn't want their company to be a billion-dollar company?
Speak it.
But I just feel like my purpose in this life is just to constantly do things and help people and create things that I love and leave a good impact. So if I'm putting things out that people are loving, they feel confident, they're having their core memories in, and they're wearing this dress and living their life, then I already succeeded.
You said that people have false expectations. Do you think that is because of social media? And how do you feel about social? Because you're from a generation where you grew up on social media. Like, I remember when it was. I remember when Facebook first came out, but you probably don't even remember that. Like, you just was kind of like in it as a kid. So how have you been able to kind of separate your social media, because you got a lot of followers and you influence a lot of people. Like, a lot of people are looking at your life as aspirational, right? How do you separate that, and what's your thoughts on the good and bad side of social media?
What's up, everyone? It's Boss Britt.
And it's DJ Excel.
If you're a fan of the queer culture and lifestyle, then be sure to check out and subscribe to The No Homo Show.
We're a show that shares true stories that are uncut, funny, relatable, and of course, gay, from a lesbian's perspective.
That's right. Brought to you exclusively by the Revolt Podcast Network.
Well, I feel like I was the last generation of not having social media. I think I got Instagram when I was like 13 or something like that. So I had like my childhood kind of without social media. There was MySpace and stuff, which I had, but I didn't really, I wasn't like, on it too crazy.
Make us feel old, please.
But there's a fine line. I feel like I felt a shift in social media right now, but it's a blessing and a curse. We're able to connect with so many people, learn so many things. Like, we're about to have the most millionaires, I think, evolving in the next few years because of this AI, which actually terrifies me a little bit, because not the millionaire part, but like, where is life going? We're eliminating a lot of jobs from people. And there's a lot of beauty in being able to have that platform to be able to, like, you know, make money from home and have that luxury of just reaching people all around the world. But I do think that there's a lot of narratives pushed on social media that are very toxic for the upcoming generation. The appearance of people, their confidence, how they feel about themselves, what they think they should be doing, people hiding behind their phone, television, whatever it is, bullying. And there's like no line between reality and the internet anymore. The internet is your reality.
That's a fact. I tell them that all the time.
It's like, and it's really sad. Like, I don't want to go on social media every day. I can't control that I'm seeing all of this negative, like, stuff in the press. We don't know what's real, what's not real. I go and I see that somebody passed away, and then I could go see a video of it. I don't think that's fair. Like, but I don't think we can control what's put on the internet. Mm.
That's interesting, because we do have this conversation all the time. But I want to talk about, like, in your real life, how that transpires into the work that you're putting out, right? Like, when we looked at the dresses, we could see, like, wait, this might have been inspired by you being on the beach, or you went to a museum and this inspired this. How much is that going to be put into the work going forward?
Yeah, I think I strive for inspiration. I feel like that's what drives the creative, that's what drives an entrepreneur, is like being inspired by your environment. I'm inspired by people I see on social media all the time. Social media is our biggest marketing tool. So I'm not here to say that it's terrible. It's great. But I think, I mean, I love social media at the end of the day. It is such a powerful tool in what I'm doing, and it's given me the platform to be able to sell clothes and connect with people and put out my image and my brand and my statement. And I really want people to get to know me, this upcoming chapter of my life, of who I really am, what I do on a day-to-day basis, how much work and love I put into things. So I feel like a new era and shift of who I am is happening, and it's going to happen a lot through social media, so because that's how I connect with people. But it's just a journey. Like I said, you guys are on this journey. I've been on here since I was 13, so people have seen me really grow up on social media, go through a lot of trials, tribulations, trying different things, my style evolving, my finances evolving, my lifestyle evolving. So it's just, I'm ready for the next chapter.
We're journeying into the woods.
Yes.
So right now you have three pieces, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you keep it small intentionally, not trying to do like a million pieces at one time, like just very selective with a few pieces?
Yeah, I kept it a few pieces. One, because it's expensive to make. Two, you give people too much and they get overwhelmed. So I felt like three was perfect. You have one for every different type of person. You want something more colorful. You want something more simple. Black is timeless. And then you kind of have the black with a little bit of color for the people that like darker colors, but not fully black. And then I just feel like simplicity is key. Keep it simple. It's easier. It's a lot easier to promote three dresses rather than 30 dresses. I don't know how I promote selling 30 dresses eventually, yeah. Once you have that machine going. But right now it's just like, since I'm doing everything, I need to keep it simple for my piece, for everything.
So you said keep it simple and you're doing everything, but you also said that your finances have grown. And so I wonder now, who is educating you? Who's guiding you? Is there an advisor? Is there a CPA? Is it Supermom? Who's managing the brand as far as the financial aspect of it?
I think I have a little bit of help from a few different people, a financial advisor. Mom will make sure I'm not spending too much, even though I buy things that I feel like are necessary and not. I don't have a shopping problem, maybe more a little bit recently. But
she said she can't confirm or deny that.
I think that's an accurate answer. But no, I'm always open to learning more. I feel like there's so many like loopholes, different things to learn. Every day I learn something new. I want to invest in more things. And I don't know much about the stock market. I don't know much about investing too many things, but I eventually want to get into real estate, because that's one industry that is never going anywhere.
Real estate's forever. Well, if you need a stock market tutorial, we got you.
Yeah, I need to get into the stocks. I don't know how it works.
Yeah,
we'll set up a Zoom call. We'll give you a 101.
So like, if you had to invest in any like type of company right now, are you leaning more towards like tech or like?
So I think you go with the strongest companies, right? And the strongest company in the world is Apple. So that's the leading horse in the last decade. So that is a company that would probably be a good company to invest in, right? I don't see Apple slowing down.
But wouldn't there be like so many, like wouldn't it be so oversaturated?
No. So the way that you think is what you just said is very insightful, because that's how most people think. And they're like, all right, this is a short thing. I want to go with what we call penny stocks, mm-hmm. or a company that nobody knows, because then I have an opportunity to get like 10,000% on my money. But that comes with a lot of risk. This is like Dogecoin mm-hmm. and a lot of these cryptos where people...
Yeah, I definitely got some of those.
Thank you for the transparency.
Yeah, no, but I mean, it's common,
it's
right?
Important. People
look past people look past the obvious to try to hit a home run. But mm-hmm. when you're investing, you want to mitigate risk. You want to go safety. Safety first. If you don't... Mm-hmm. The number one rule is safety first. So go with the safe investment over the risky investment.
Unless you just got money to risk.
Yeah, I mean, but it's kind of one of those things, like you said, Apple, you know that company, right? You probably get that new phone every year.
Yeah,
right? It's an investment.
And the 14 sucks. Wish I kept the
15. But they have something that hopefully every brand can aspire to have, and that's brand loyalty, right? Like, you might feel that way, but if you put that out, there'll be a million people saying, you're out of your mind.
Oh, no, I went to the Apple store because my phone was glitching like bad, and the guy that works there, he's like, I'm so upset I got the 14. He's like, this happened to my phone, and it's just because it's not a good phone. Like,
this episode is sponsored by Apple.
Yeah. Look, I'm buy the next one and the next one. But
that's the brand loyalty, right? But, and so, but, like, when you have a drop, people are going to want to have their first drop, they're going to have the second one, and like, you create that brand loyalty, and it doesn't matter what you put out. Mm-hmm. People are going to support it because they trust you and they trust your brand.
But getting the people's trust
is key. And they had to do that, right? 1984, they didn't have the trust. Mm-hmm. Microsoft might have had the trust, right? But as they put out new products, revolutionary products, products that were changing the way we communicated with each other, you build that brand loyalty.
Yeah.
But I wanted to go back to what you said. You talked about AI, mm-hmm. right? And so you keep hearing it and you keep hearing it. But most people are like, all right, I'm scared of it. There's another way to look at it. Like, if this is going to be the new technology of our future, how do we become a part of it? And the best way to become a part of it is to invest in companies.
I'm about to make some AI dresses.
That are doing that, right? So, like, if you can find a company that's doing it, maybe it's Microsoft, maybe it's a company like NVIDIA that's creating graphic cards. These companies are going to be in the forefront of it. So if you keep mm-hmm. hearing about something in the news,
look into the stock.
Look into, like, the companies that are in the forefront of it that are leading that way.
But yeah. Also, I think that... As an entrepreneur, there's a lot to learn from, like, different top companies. So, like, Apple, mm-hmm. for instance, right? There's a lot to learn from a company like Apple where, essentially, they sell phones, right? It's not something that's very glamorous, but they've turned into a luxury brand.
Pretty glamorous.
Well, it's a luxury brand.
Yeah.
So when you go into the Apple store, it feels like an art gallery.
Mm-hmm.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Right,
it's
open
experience.
Areas, white walls, it's 40 employees, everybody has the same, so it's not like you're going to a T-Mobile store and you're feeling mm-hmm. like you're in a phone shop, right? So even for us, like when we curate events, it's financial literacy, but we've been able to curate events where it's like, it's a vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And we took different pieces from other companies where it's like, okay, even the vertical integration, like if you look at Apple on their phone, it's like a house that you can't leave because you got the music on your phone,
mm-hmm.
you have all of the apps on your phone, all of the social media on your phone, the maps on your phone,
your money,
Uber.
Yeah, the Apple Wallet. So,
think about apps. Apps didn't exist before Apple made
the App Store, and they take 30%
of every app.
So, it's like, that alone is a Fortune 100 company. We can go on and on about Apple, but there's a lot of great business lessons. But I wanted to ask you, as far as your marketing, what's your marketing plan? Obviously, you have social media, so I know you're pushing mm-hmm. it on social media, but is it to get other influencers, like a Fashion Nova model, or is it to do, like, pop-up events? I'm sure you don't want to saturate your own personal social media too much with pushing your brand. So what's your marketing for your clothing brand?
Like you said, building that loyalty system. It's just, like, when you're someone in my position, people are looking to hate it already. They're like, I'm not going to like it. You like put it out and they're like, I hate it. They don't even know what it is, but they hate it. So really building, you know, that trust with people, getting people to like it, try it, probably doing some type of influencer program, loyalty program where like people can try the dress and like give their honest feedback. That's natural marketing. Mm-hmm. Definitely doing some pop-ups. I wanted to try to do one by the end of the year. I don't want to give away my idea because I don't want somebody to take it. But doing kind of like a infused, like not full pop-up, it's an experience where you can buy maybe some clothes that are exclusive to that pop-up. Kind of also taking people along on the journey more so they can be invested in the story of the brand and know the intention behind everything. Getting more people on the team to help with marketing, since that isn't my specialty, which we have some really awesome people that have helped with that. Really building that brand identity, the story out, and making dope ass product really that people like. They don't care who put it out. It's cool, so I'm gonna wear it.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Is it important to have a dope ass product, or is it important to know that I made the dope ass product? There's like a balance there.
I think there's a balance with everything. But the crazy thing is, marketing is everything. Cause I see a lot of products that are not like really good, but the marketing's on point, the story's on point, and they'll sell out just because they believe in it because of the story. Mm-hmm. So having that storytelling, as well as when you have the quality and the storytelling, you have a win-win situation. You're like, okay, I bought the product, the quality's there, I'm gonna forever buy that product.
When you're dealing with quality, you have to also take into account price points. Mm-hmm. So how did you manage to figure out this is the appropriate price point for us to have this luxury brand?
If I could sell things for $20, I would. You put out something for $10 and it's too much for some people. But then Gucci or Louis Vuitton will put out a shirt that's the most random shirt for $2,000 and people are like, oh, that's easy. So it's just finding like that price point that you can make a profit and also you can give it to them at the lowest possible price without upcharging too much. For me, like I found the sweet spot where I feel like, maybe I'm wrong for saying this, but like for me, when I was younger, $100 could last me like 2 weeks, like a while. Now I feel like $100 is like getting a $20 bill. I'm like,
does it fill up your gas tank?
Yeah, it's like $100 just to go down the street. I'm not saying that's no money, but I'm like, if it's in that 100 range, I feel like it's something that's achievable for people that are on social media that are buying other things. Whereas like, even if you look at Fashion Nova prices right now, some of their dresses are like $89, $90. Mm-hmm. If it's $123, that for something that's going to last you forever, you kind of look at it as an investment piece rather than something that you wear and it's going to like tear apart after you wear it. So for me, it's like when you invest in something that's timeless, you end up saving more money in the long run.
Yeah, investment piece. I like that.
And like you said, I mean, it's people, the quality is good, but more importantly is how people feel about the brand. Mm-hmm. Starbucks, they don't have the best coffee, but they've created a culture. They have a cool logo, and it's a vibe.
They've taken a lot of my money over the years, for sure.
Yeah, it's like, you know, McDonald's. I think McDonald's probably has the top 100th burger in America, but people believe in their brand.
Yep. It's accessible, it's in front of your face, it's attainable to a lot of people, even though their prices, I think, have gone up quite a bit from when I was a kid.
McDonald's?
Yeah.
Haven't ate McDonald's in 27 years, I don't know.
Please, I haven't eaten McDonald's either, but when I was a kid, after school, going to get those Happy Meals.
The number two was $4.25, I remember it. I used to buy it all the time. It's not $4.25
It's
anymore.
Probably like 10 bucks.
I don't know how much two cheeseburgers cost.
Yeah, I don't know either. No clue.
Eating McDonald's in 2023 is crazy. But
this episode is not brought to you by
McDonald's. Not brought to you by McDonald's.
So what's no shame if you eat McDonald's, though.
No, it's an interesting choice to make. But
but it's not an investment for your health.
Yes. What is what's next for you? What is next for you? What's on your vision board? What are you looking to accomplish in the next, you know, couple of years?
I'm really just expanding Woods by Jordan, putting out as many products as I can that I believe in. I have like a whole vision board and drawings and designs, the products that I'm hoping to get out in the next year. Building out some of those pop-ups and museums that I want to do. I'm working on some stuff in the franchising world, so that's my side hustle. And, I don't know, being healthy, being happy. It's hard to say because my life changes so much by month, but I just know I want to really lock in on expanding the brand, getting carried in maybe some stores outside of my own, because right now we're just e-commerce. I don't really think I want to have any flagship stores at the moment because it's expensive and people are mainly buying online. Mm-hmm. But maybe getting carried in like a Nordstrom or like something like that would be a huge step. And the possibilities are really endless.
Yeah.
There you have it.
Yeah, we watched you grow up, like you said, to hear franchising, to hear e-commerce, to hear expansion. Extremely excited for your future.
Thank
Congratulations.
You. I can't wait to go skydiving with you.
that's the next episode.
That's what we're doing now. We're going there now.
We're actually headed to the,
we're actually about to go now.
Yes. Thank you for the hospitality. Thank you for having us, and much continued success to you.
Thank you. Yeah, you too. Congratulations on your guys' expansion of your show.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. It's a wrap on set.
It's a wrap for Jordan Woods, y'all.
That was dope. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is a Fast Financial Fact sponsored by Xfinity.
This week's fact, teaming up with an established brand may not always be the way to go.
A well-crafted partnership agreement with a legal professional or business advisor can outline the roles and obligations of each partner and help prevent potential conflict or misunderstandings down the line.
You should always weigh the pros and cons of ownership versus partnership when looking to enter a new business or expand an old one.
Assets Over Liabilities is presented by Xfinity.
Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again, because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.